He said, when you get married, you get in the matrimonial airplane and you throw away your parachute. Wow. Stop and think about that. Because some of us get into the plane strapping on a parachute. Some of us are afraid to take the parachute off. And if you don't, if you get into a situation and you're already relying on a parachute, then I'm telling you that there needs to be a commitment to the marriage that goes beyond what, you know, the circumstance may or may not be.
The attack on the family, the way God has ordained it, often starts with an attack on the institution of marriage, the way God has ordained it. According to the American Psychological Association, approximately 40% to 50% of marriages end in divorce. The divorce rate for second marriages is even higher, with approximately 60% to 67% of second marriages ending in divorce. The challenge today is to hang in there and keep your marriage vows.
Now we're in the second half of chapter 7. And I believe that he has a very important message for us to consider here in chapter 7, starting at verse 10. And the last time, if you remember, we looked at, he started introducing this whole subject of marriage. And he had a word for married couples to consider as the Lord is challenging us in our marriages. And there was a word for single people as well there, because I think it applies to all of us, whether we're married or single, that we need to focus on our relationship with the Lord. But here, starting at verse 10, he has specifically a word for married people. And this word of commitment does apply as well to single people. But I want to challenge you that are married to apply this to your own life and your own situation. So join me as we pray and ask for God's help and consider what he has to say to us. Heavenly Father, again, we bow before you. We ask that you would give us clarity, understanding, and a willing heart to obey. And Lord, may each of us, all those under the sound of my voice, as well as those that are here under this roof, Lord, may we take this and apply it to our own lives. And we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we're in a situation in our culture where 50% of marriages end up in divorce. That's almost half the people. You know how much money they spend on weddings? I mean, huge sums of money are spent on weddings and ceremonies and receptions. And after all that money is spent and all that planning, 50% of them end up in divorce. And there's another percent on top of that that have given up on their marriage vows. And even though they don't end up in divorce, they've like walked away from their marriage vows. And I believe that there are reasons to walk away from your vows. There are reasons that we'll get into that for even that, because of the hardness of our hearts, he's allowed a divorce to enter in. The problem is that we give up and walk away far too easily. That we allow our selfish desires and our own pleasure to step in and pull us away from our marriages, and we give up far too easily. And so the Apostle Paul in this chapter, chapter 7 of his book to Corinth, he continues to encourage and challenge married couples, and he wants us to be able to hang in there as a witness at home, because God can use us there. And so I want to challenge you that we need to hang in there. Now, if you've heard me any length of time, one of the things that I've said is that our marriages are to be a picture of the love relationship between Christ and his church. Everybody familiar with that concept? Our marriages should be a walking, talking billboard, an advertisement for the relationship, that love relationship between Christ and his church. So as long as we can see it in the text, as long as it's what the Bible is saying, then if you got a problem with it, you got to take it up with him. Now, if I step away from what's in the book and I tell you something that's not here, then you can throw the darts at Tony Hart. But I'm going to try and be as faithful as I can to what is in the book. And the first thing that he says is that a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, which seems to indicate there are some conditions in which a wife may depart, even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. And so you have the challenge here. The wife is not to seek divorce and run away. The husband is not to seek divorce and run away. Why? Because God hates divorce. And our marriages are to be a picture of that love relationship between Christ and the church. And so in these verses, Paul's whole point is, if your spouse is an unbeliever, hang in there and be a witness. Now, let's remember that during the ministry of Jesus, the Jewish practice was to be able to put your wife away and dissolve a marriage for any reason. It had gotten so bad that the Pharisees allowed any reason at all for divorce. If, you know, I didn't like how she did her hair this morning, so she's out. And for any reason at all. And I want to tell you that we are back to that today in our culture, especially in most states now with no-fault divorce for any reason at all. You don't even have to have a good reason. That for any reason, you can just decide to seek a divorce. And no just cause needs to be shown. I just don't like her anymore is not a good reason to walk away from your marriage. Check out the answer that Jesus gave to the Pharisees in Matthew 19. In fact, turn quickly to that portion. In Matthew 19, there are quite a few number of verses there that Jesus gives. In Matthew 19, starting at verse 1, he says, "Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him, to saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?' And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who has made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh"? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man..." Old King James says, "put asunder." New King James says, "separate." "For they said to him, 'Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?' And he said, 'Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality," it's porneia, "and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery.' And his disciples said to him, 'If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to get married.'" Wow. And so Jesus makes it clear here in Matthew 19, as he is sharing with these Pharisees, that divorce was only permitted because of the hardness of their hearts, but that God still hates divorce. Now, he did give an exception here, and we're going to go through a couple of exceptions here. And so I want you to know that there are a couple of reasons, but it's not because, you know, you don't like her anymore. It's not because he's not all that you thought he was. That's not a good reason for divorce. And so Jesus, also in the Sermon on the Mount, reiterates the severity of getting the divorce. And if you go back to Matthew 5, and I'll just look at two verses there in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, verses 31 and 32. As Jesus is teaching there on the sermon, this what we call the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 31 he says, "Furthermore, it has been said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except porneia, sexual immorality," Old King James says fornication, "causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery." So what he's saying here is that God takes this marriage vow seriously. He takes it very seriously. And divorce is only permitted because of the hardness of our hearts and the sinful condition that we find ourselves in. And so he says there that if you seek divorce for anything other than a limited number of circumstances, you are to remain single and not get married again. And the Pharisees understood exactly what he was saying. They understood exactly what he meant. And that's why they said there in Matthew 19, well, if that's true, it's better not to get married. You better think twice before you get married. And so that's not Tony Hart. That's verse 32. Amen. Don't go leave here and say what, oh, what Pastor Tony said. It's not Tony Hart. This is scripture. I'm just reading the scripture. And in our text, 1 Corinthians 7, we also see that an unbelieving spouse, if an unbelieving spouse walks away from marriage and secures a divorce, then the believing spouse is not under bondage. And this is what many describe as desertion. And so that's why many people believe that in addition to porneia, desertion is also a reason that permits divorce, and you're not under bondage in that case. But let me say this. None of those reasons, whether it's sexual immorality or desertion, none of those reasons are reasons to necessarily seek a divorce. And so we need to be careful that we do everything we can, everything that's in our power, to be able to maintain the marriage and keep the vows that we have committed to. I think it's laid out pretty clearly for us that we have a huge responsibility when it comes to marriage and not mess up this wonderful picture that God has created to be a portrait down here on earth of the love between Christ and his church. And so most of these things can be worked through, whether it's through counseling or through commitment. Most of these issues can be worked through, and there is such a thing as forgiveness. Amen. You know, I've said before that it's been said that a good marriage is between two forgivers. Because guess what? You married a sinner, and you are a sinner. And when you get two sinners under the same roof, don't be surprised that there's sin. Some people, you know, by the time the rose-colored glasses come off, they're all surprised at their sin. Don't be surprised at sin, but you need to be skilled at forgiving. And that's what makes a good marriage. And so Paul is encouraging all married people to hang in there and be a witness in your home because God can use you there. And now, there are, as I said, there are some circumstances where divorce is permitted and even, you know, remarriage may be permitted. But that desertion, if the unbeliever decides to leave and it's not up to you because you can only do what is in your power. If the unbeliever decides to leave, then let them leave and you're not under bondage in that case, okay? If you live with somebody who is just immoral and just, you know, not doing what they're supposed to do and being unfaithful, they have both deserted their vows and they've also, you know, committed immorality against the marriage, then there can reach a point where you have the right. Even though it's not may not be always necessary, you have that right. But marriage is to be a picture for all of us to see the love that Christ had for the church. And in order for that to happen, it requires persistence. It means that separating that picture, it means that disrupting that marriage in any way, it should be the absolute last resort. Now, I will say that, you know, there's sometimes when if somebody's safety is at somebody there at risk in a situation, then you need to get out of there and save your, you know, you don't want to be in a situation where somebody's beating you up or somebody is messing you up. But we need to be very, very careful that we at all costs try and hang on to that marriage picture and hang in there. The late Bible teacher, Adrian Rogers, he was a pastor and also a radio Bible teacher, and he had a quote that said this. He said, when you get married, you get in the matrimonial airplane and you throw away your parachute. Wow. Stop and think about that. Because some of us get into the plane strapping on a parachute. Some of us are afraid to take the parachute off. And if you don't, if you get into a situation and you're already relying on a parachute, then I'm telling you that there needs to be a commitment to the marriage that goes beyond what, you know, the circumstance may or may not be. And so we need to be careful as we enter into marriage that we enter in with another believer, that we enter in not unequally yoked, that we enter in with somebody who's moving in the same spiritual direction that we are. Pilots will tell you that the time to do a flight check is before you take off. You hear what I'm saying? You don't wait till the plane is up there at 10,000 feet to start trying to figure out if the wings are in place and if everything looks okay. Do your flight check before you take off. Make sure that you know who you're dealing with before you take off, because we want our marriages to be a picture of Christ and his church. And so Paul here in this portion of scripture is just simply saying, hang in there, because God is calling you to be a witness to the world. But look at verse 14. He says in back in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14, let me just get that here. He says, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but now they are holy. Very interesting portion of scripture there, and we need to try and unpack that. The text is saying that the unbeliever is sanctified by the believing spouse. Now, this does not mean that the unbelieving husband or wife is saved because they're married to a believer. That's not what it's saying. Let's be clear that there's only one way to salvation. Amen. And that's through the door of faith in Jesus Christ. What we should see here is that by virtue of the union with a believer, the unbelieving spouse is brought right up to the door of salvation. They are confronted with Christ because they're committed to you and you're committed to Christ. They are daily confronted with Jesus Christ and the call of Christ on their lives. Are you with me? And so they're brought right up to the door of salvation by your daily life and witness. Now, for those of you that are married to someone who is outside of Christ, someone who is not a believer, the challenge then for us is for our lives to demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, for our lives to demonstrate the character of Christ. So that every day as they're committed to us, they see Jesus lived out through us. And by that process, we are bringing that unbelieving spouse right to the door of salvation. We're bringing them and confronting them with the need for Christ in their lives. And so they're brought face to face with the character of Christ. And he or she is set apart. That's what sanctification means, that they are set apart through their commitment to you and the vows, and therefore face daily with the character of Christ in your life. And so he or she is facing the living Christ every single day. And I want to suggest to you that places a huge responsibility on the believing spouse. And so those of you that are listening to me and maybe your spouse is not a believer, you have a huge opportunity as well as a huge responsibility to allow your life to demonstrate and show the character of Christ. And so he mentions the impact that you can have even on your children. Now, remember that Paul understands that there's an unbeliever in the house, but Paul knows that the children are being exposed to the negative influences of that unbelieving spouse, but he also understands the power of a godly witness. And he knows that if the children were confronted daily with the consistent demonstration of Christ, it would be a powerful sanctifying force in the hearts of the children as well. And so what he's saying here is that don't run away. Even if you have an unbelieving spouse, don't be so quick to run away, because your presence in the home can be a powerful witness and a sanctifying force that brings not only your spouse, but also your children to right to the door of salvation. Amen? So all Paul is saying is hang in there. Let's not be so quick to get up and run. Let's not be so quick to dodge the problems in life. Sure, there are circumstances where it's warranted, but far too often we're way before we get to that. We're ready to pack up and run and seek a divorce. Now, this is like a proverb when he's talking about the husband and the children. Because like a proverb, this is not a promise that you will always see your spouse come to Christ. It's not a promise that you're always going to see your children come to salvation and dedicate themselves to Christ. But what he's saying here is that you have a tremendous opportunity to be a witness and a powerful force in that home to draw both that unsaved spouse and the children to Christ. And so this whole message for believers is to encourage us to hang in there as a witness in our homes, to be a blessing to our families, to be a witness to the world around, to seek out, to be faithful to in our service to God. Because how many of you know that your service to your spouse is part of your service to God? It's bigger than just what you're doing for your spouse. It's part of your service to God. And after he laid down his life for us, after he shed his precious blood for us, we should be willing to sacrifice to serve him as well. You see, love is a decision. Love is a commitment. Love is an action word. And too often, you know, when the butterflies settle down in your belly and you don't feel all that affection that you used to have, we give up on the whole institution. Loving God and being faithful to him is also a commitment, a decision that always doesn't come with positive feelings. How many days have you been called to obey God and you didn't feel like it? Amen. If you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Love is a decision. It's a commitment that we make. We make that commitment to God, and we need to make that commitment to our spouse. And when we commit to God's way, you can watch and see what God is able to do.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are grateful for our broadcast, you can play a significant part in keeping it available in your community and beyond. We rely on the prayerful support of friends like you who will join hands with us. Thank you for remembering this ministry and all the people we are reaching with God's Word. If you'd like to express your support, contact us today. You can call us at 215-361-8111. Again, that's 215-361-8111. You can also donate online at our website, gogfministries.org. Or you can mail your tax-deductible gift to our offices at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Your monthly gift will help us to fulfill our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears.